Hey, good morning, everyone. Regina, I think Lynn was asking about the music. You were playing. Lynn has been our music. Lynn has been our music director, and it occurred to me that I should have made sure that Lynn was going to play our music this morning, but I hope, Lynn, that you're still willing to do that. Thank you. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Awakening Together's Sunday morning gathering. We will begin this morning by looking at our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and rest in its embrace. And see, I've already gotten ahead of myself. And what I'm supposed to be doing is saying thank you, Lynn, for being here to play the music, because we're going to listen to some lovely music that Lynn plays while we greet one another. I'll let go of the mic.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. We are awakened to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody standing under, beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love.
Opening music. Okay. Again, so I'm going to read our purpose again. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I am also, we have five core values. Seems like I pick this one every time, so I'm going to teach it till I learn it. Core value number 3, we accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. All right, and morning announcements. The 2018 Awakening Together Fall Retreat is a pilgrimage to Israel. The pilgrimage is October 20th through the 27th with an optional 5-day extension trip from October 28th through November the 1st. One of the places we will visit on the pilgrimage is the Garden of Gethsemane. It foot of the Mount of Olives. That's where Jesus went to pray just prior to his arrest the evening before his crucifixion. According to the story, Jesus took Peter, James, and John into the garden with him. He asked them to keep watch while he went further into the garden to pray. There, he faced the fear of death and Sir Will entirely with these famous words, "Not my will, but thy will." After Jesus emerged from the garden that night, Judas arrived with the temple guards who arrested Jesus and took him to trial at the home of the chief priest. This story is told with a slightly different twist in some of the Gospels. You can read the story for yourself at Matthew chapter 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and John 18. It's also fun to read NTI's reinterpretation of these scriptures. When we visit the Garden of Gethsemane next October, we will have reserved private time. We will have reserved private time in the garden without other tourists. We will be able to spend 45 minutes alone in the Garden of Gethsemane. We will see for ourselves that Jesus could have fled and avoided arrest if he had decided, and we will contemplate the decision he made to stay and let things unfold as they did. For full details about our trip to Israel next fall, visit awakening-together.org and click Retreats and Classes, and then look under Retreats. Our next announcement, our fourth quarter member meeting will be held here in the sanctuary next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Regina will share important information about our financial situation and some upcoming schedule changes. Please plan to attend live if you can. If you can't be here live, the member meeting will be recorded and you can listen to the audio later. Join us tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, for the Movie Watchers Discussion Group. This month's movies are The Game, starring Michael Douglas, and it's a match set, two movies, and The Man Who Knew Too Little, starring Bill Murray. They're a match set because they show us that waking up can be hard or it can be easy. The movies are a lot of fun, and really look for those themes as you watch the movies. Now, I do not have in front of me the sites where they're available. I believe they're available on iTunes and Amazon, but I don't think they're available on Amazon Prime. They are available with commentary by John Mark Stroud on his website, onewhowakes.org. And they're free to watch there, but it's a great way to spend your afternoon. You may want to do that and watch those movies with spirit. And again, look for those themes, waking up hard from The Game and waking up easy from The Man Who Knew Too Little. And join us tonight again at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and we will discuss those movies and those themes. After the Movie Watchers Discussion Group tonight, please stick around for our weekly Satsang with Craig Holiday. And Craig's weekly Satsang begins at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I guess that's 6 p.m. Pacific. All right, guys. So what we'll do now is we will, I'm going to turn the mic over to Lynn. She is going to play a song for us so that we can kind of switch gears here and settle in for the message. Lynn, please take the mic. Thank you, Lynn. All right, and now it's time for our opening prayer. I rest in inner wisdom. I rest in the truth of who I am. I know this truth within me. It is this truth that I would convey this morning. I am grateful for being given the eyes to see the truth and the voice to speak. Amen. Okay. Now we'll have our reading. This morning's reader is Lynn Johnson. Lynn Johnson's doing double duty this morning, and Lynn is going to read to us from NTI, 1 Peter, chapter 2. Lynn, please take the mic.
All right. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. And thank you for offering and asking me to be a part of this service. It's such a pleasure and a privilege to me. So thank you. NTI, 1 Peter, chapter 2. Beautiful. In truth, you can rid yourself of nothing, for it is nothing to be rid of. You are pure and perfect, and in communication now. Nothing has ever failed or gone wrong. It is perfect as you are. If something seems to have gone wrong, or seems to be less than perfect, you are seeing through a veil of misperception. It is only this veil that must be lifted so you can see that it is all perfect, and it has always been. Love yourself. Do not seek outside of you for something that is better than with you in which to love. Seek only within, for when you believe the symbol of love is outside of you, you also believe that you are not love itself. In this leaf, you cannot find love, for what you see outside comes from what is valued within. If you value the belief that you are unlovable, a world without love is the world you shall see. Everything that you see and the way in which you see it is a reflection of your feelings and your beliefs about you. There isn't a single exception to this statement. Everything that you see is a reflection of how you see yourself. Your perception is changing, and your experience of how you perceive the world is changing also, because you have become willing to experience yourself differently. As you allow change in your feelings regarding yourself, you allow change in your perception of the world, because the world is a reflection of your thoughts and feelings about you. Look at the world now and see it honestly. It is your roadmap to the awareness that you want to be, because it shows you where you must stop and look in order to continue the road to where you want to go. The world is a reflection of your mind. By seeing what you see in the world and by noticing and acknowledging your feelings about what you see, you find the misperception that are blinding you to yourself. If you resent this one's authority, that meant against yourself. If you wish that one were different, you are not yet accepting the truth of you. By looking at the world, you find your misperceptions. Look now in willingness with a desire only that misperceptions be healed. Remember that nothing is brought to your attention except that you ask it to be brought to you. So when that thing that you do not like stands before you, and you feel the pain of seeing it as if it were something real, remember this. What you are seeing is not real, but it is your gift to yourself. You have given willingness to let go of misperceptions, so this one has stepped forward in gratitude. It is the symbol of your willingness that misperception be let go. Rest in the faith of your innocence. Let this misperception go now, as it stands for you to see. Or let this perception go now, as it stands for you to see. What you see is what you see, because it is a reflection of what is in your mind. What you see is not fact, in that it cannot be changed or cannot be seen differently. What you see is only fact, in that it is a fact that is a reflection of what is in your mind now. Accept this fact. Accept this fact. Accept it. Look at the reflection and see what you do not see before, did not see before. All that you see is in your mind, and you are the power that can change it. Is what you see that which you need your truth? If it is not, it is misperception, and it will fade away through your willingness to release it to do so. And wow, what an incredible, beautiful, wise passage. Thank you for letting me read this. And I felt it, Regina. Here's the mic back to you, Jacqueline. Once again, thank you.
Thank you. It was lovely. Yes, as Regina said, read with heart. Yeah. Okay, guys. If you were here on Tuesday night, you may have heard me teach this, talk about this chapter already. But that's why I'm back here this morning to do it, because as I told Regina after, I noticed a little bit of confusion on my part when we were looking at this on Tuesday night. And so I really wanted to dig into this and see what the underlying message was, what we're really being taught here. Not surprising to me, it's the same message that I have been hearing for only a little. No, a lot, Carrie. Thanks. it's the same message that that's been being taught. You know, the truth is true, and only that it's true. So that's not a big shocker, I guess. But as I look at this message, it becomes clearer and clearer to me. Yeah, Carrie, actually, when I noticed, I said a little confused. I thought, well, that's a stretch. So let me start by saying, you know, we talk a lot. I talk a lot about letting go of the thoughts in my mind, the thoughts in the mind. And I talk about letting go of personal self. But the connection between these two is what I often miss. And, now give me just a second. This passage that Lynn just read to us is really the key to seeing where we are still believing we are persons. Sorry, my phone's ringing. The key here this is a roadmap. Because it will show us where we're still believing in our personhood. As Inna Romana says, and this is from page 88 of the teachings of Inna Romana, you see, the placement of your identity is more important than you may have previously thought it was. It is more important and more profound. If you place your identity with the false identity I in the thinking mind, then you experience everything it thinks up to prove that it exists. You are fully invested in it, and you fully experience all of its experiences. But this does not change the fact that you are not it, and the experiences that come from it are fully and perfectly illusion. You see, the answer is this. The answer is to realize that it is not you. This is why self-inquiry works. As you realize the illusion is illusion, and it is not you, you are not affected by its dreams, because you have found yourself, Kallus, self, to be beyond them, and before them, and above them. Your mind, attention, is anchored at a depth where they do not exist. Therefore, they touch you not. And so, this is, again, surprise, surprise, but this is what we're being asked to do. We're being asked to let go of the thinking mind, because it's the thinking mind that is the block to the truth of who we are. Again, Inner Ramana says, this is why it is helpful to question the false I thought that poses as you. And I'm going to read the rest of this paragraph. This is on page 70, but I want to say this. The false I thought are those thoughts that keep us believing that we are a person moving about in a world. So, while we often talk of the false I thought as a singular, while I have often talked of the false I thought as a singular thought, that I am a separate human being, that I am this body, that I am subject to lack and limitation. While we often talk about the false I as somehow this singular thought, it's not a singular thought. It's every thought that would tell you that you are a human being living in a world of separate human beings. Inner says, this is why it is helpful to question the false I thought that poses as you. This thought is literally an obstacle to the experience of self. This false identification is everything that stands in the way of you knowing you. And if you continue to listen to it and continue to believe it as if its statements are your thoughts, then you continue to miss out on the experience of your truth. And so this is why the world, N.T.I. First Peter says, that the world is a roadmap to the awareness that you want to be, because it shows you where you must stop and look in order to continue the road to where you want to go. So as I thought about this, it occurred to me, as I thought about it, right? Words are funny. As I contemplated this, it occurred to me that, I've said this before, and somehow it struck a deeper chord. But it occurred to me that we believe that we are individuals who are learning to become something else. We talk about undoing, but I still believe that, that I'm going to somehow become, a better version of me, right? That this, person that sits here before you today is going to, shed all my bad habits. that Jacqueline is going to learn to become more loving, more giving, free from worry. But the truth is, Jacqueline is the problem, right? To the extent that I believe I am this character, that is the problem. I will often look at the world and see obstacles to my awakening, right? Well, I got to go work on that house I'm fixing, and that's an obstacle to me, like preparing for the gathering or, you know, preparing to teach MPP or meditating or whatever it is that I should be doing. And I'm seeing these things, I'm seeing circumstances in the world as an obstacle. These aren't the obstacles. The obstacles are my belief that I am the person that has to deal with the circumstances in which I find myself. So here at NCI 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "The world is a reflection of your mind. By seeing what you see in the world and by noticing and acknowledging your feelings about what you see, you find the misperceptions that are blinding you to your capital S self, your true self." Let me read it again. "By seeing what you see in the world and by noticing and acknowledging your feelings about what you see, you find the misperceptions that are blinding you to yourself. If you resent this one's authority, you have a resentment against yourself. If you wish that one were different, you're not yet accepting the truth of you." And, you know, for many years, I've been contemplating this idea of you spot it, you got it. So if I'm resenting this, I'm resenting myself. If I'm wishing that one were different, I'm not yet accepting the truth of who I am. And I'm like, you know, it doesn't seem like, I think I saw on Tuesday, it doesn't seem like it's quite that one for one trade-off like that. But the truth is, if I see myself as anything but the unaffected self, I am buying in to the story that I am the character. The unaffected self need not resent authority. The unaffected self need not have anything different. So it's not the... it's not the quality of the thought, right? It's not the, there's no difference elsewhere in this chapter, Holy Spirit talks about this, you know, whether you see yourself as better than other people or worse than other people. There's no difference in the quality of those thoughts. The problem is seeing myself as a person that can be compared to other persons. That I resent someone else, or when I see that I'm comparing myself to other persons, I am to drop into my heart and see that none of that is true. I cannot be better or worse than you. I cannot have more or less authority than you. When I see that I'm worried about paying the mortgage, I can see that I believe that I'm a person who lives in a world where I'm subject to lack and limitation. I can see that I believe that I'm in a position where I can be affected. Well, how can I be in a position where I can be affected if I'm the unaffected self? So, you know, and again, later in this chapter, it talks about, and when you see that, you don't, there's no need to go, oh, yeah, there I go. I'm thinking about myself again as a self. You know, I'm guilty. No, because that's just adding more belief onto the idea that I am a self trying to become something else. I'm not a self. I'm not a character in the drama of the world. I am the unaffected self. And when I'm quiet, when I drop into my heart, I know the truth of that. Again, elsewhere in Peter, this talks about, the Holy Spirit talks about living in fear, which is what people who believe themselves to be characters do. We fear everything because as a small, limited self subject to attack and conflict, I mean, what's not to fear, right? So the answer is to quit participating in the fear. Let the body do what the body will do. I mean, yeah, okay. Looks like we need to pay the mortgage. Go to work, right? Do your work, get your paycheck, write the checks. But that doesn't mean that I need to participate in the fear that that being a character necessarily entails. I need to do what the body would do and know that I'm the unaffected self. Yeah, I love it. It says, Holy Spirit says, fear is an action verb. By ceasing the action of participating, you cease the action of fear. This you can do by letting it rise over you without your participation. Okay, how do we do that? We return the mind, return your mind to the current moment and the purpose of the true desire of the heart to remember who I already am, to remember I am true, unaffected self. I am not the person. So again, how to deal with fear? Don't participate in it. You can do this by letting it rise over you without your participation. Return your mind to current moment and the purpose of the true desire of the heart. In this way, you return your mind to love. A mind in tune with love cannot know fear, because fear, which is not real, is the opposite of love, just as unreality is the opposite of reality. Yeah, so we get to, and Kathy writes, I am not the reflection. That's right, but we will often think that we are, and it's just such a great place for just such a great way to see what we're believing, and there's no guilt in that. Oh, he or she said this or that. He must not love me. This proves to me I'm unlovable. You see, when you look out in the world and you think it can tell you who you are, good or bad, it can't tell you anything. It can only tell you that you are continuing to believe in the character. Yeah, and in 1 Peter chapter 4, it really brings this home. It, Holy Spirit, inner Wes, unreality is illusion. An illusion is everything that you experience now. Everything that you experience now. That's a pretty big statement. There is nothing that you experience within the mind of you as a person that is real. So if I'm seeing something from the perspective of person, I can see that I see it from the perspective of person and then know that that's not real. And then know that I'm taking on that perspective. I can choose to drop into my heart and to know the truth of the true self. Holy Spirit says every thought that comes from the mind of the person is misperception. Every thought, good or bad, every thought that comes from the mind of the person, of the character, right, is misperception. Because the belief that you are a person is the greatest misperception of all. You are not a person now, and you have not been a person before. There is no person from this lifetime or any other that you must let go of, because there has never been a person. There has only been the thought of persons, and the thought of persons is not real. Pardon me. You know, I remember Jan Fraser taught this a couple of years ago in our annual fall retreat. And she did it by basically by drawing two columns on the white. And what we think and this is very this is very entrenched. We think that we're this person, we're this Carolyn, who every now and then gets it right and gets to go rest in, play in, be in this other dimension. And that if I keep going back to that well, if I keep going, you know, crossing that line between the two columns from the person dimension to the isness dimension, the true self dimension, that, you know, eventually I will learn to become the true self. Eventually enough of that will rub off on me that I'll finally get it. I'll change my thoughts. Life will be good. But her point was, and the point that I'm making here is that these are two totally separate things. You're not a person becoming something else. I'm not a person becoming something else. I am the true self awakening to itself and learning that there never was a person that has to become. Give me just a second. I want to look here at something. From Inner Ramana that I may be able to find. Yes, here it is. Page 84 of the teachings of Inner Ramana, the inner teacher says, "This may seem to be putting yourself aside, but it is not, because the self that you call you is but an illusion of the mind. Therefore, you put nothing aside. The one who chooses to listen to me and follow me is the awakening of your true self." So it's not Jacqueline is awakening to the one true self. No. The one true self is awakening to itself. And how do I learn to awaken? That statement even sounds funny. How do I allow the one true self to awaken to itself? I quit investing in the world. How do I quit investing in the world? Well, I quit believing it when it tells me, "Oh, you better worry. Did you see your bank account? You better call so-and-so so they're not mad at you. You know, I know that, you know, it's about believing that you think you know something. It's about looking out at the world, oh, that hurt my feelings. You know, whose feelings are hurt? Who is believing that they have feelings that can be hurt? And again, it's not to look at these things and look at these things and go, oh, there's that red flag. Yep, I still believe in myself. It's to go, oh, see where I still think I'm a separate self? See where I still think that I'm subject to the whims of other people, to the ravages of time? See where I think that I need to do something to protect myself from the world? Yeah, and Lisa writes, surrender. And, you know, and I appreciate that, Lisa, because as Regina has been teaching us, you know, there comes a time of merging with inner wisdom. This merging is brought about by surrender. So as we begin to look at these thoughts that go, you're a person, you're a person, you're a person, which is all, frankly, any of them ever say, as we begin to recognize them, ego preservation strategies, we begin to let them go. We begin to let them go, first of all, by recognizing them, and then by surrendering, by going, oh, I see this misperception that tells me I'm a person in the world. Holy Spirit, inner wisdom, my own true self, right? I mean, I'm not looking outside of somebody to tell me who I am. I'm looking inside. So the truth of me can tell me who I am. We have talked about this traditionally as turning over these misperceptions to Holy Spirit. It's your Holy Spirit. It's one Holy Spirit. It's the truth of who I am. So when I see this misperception arise, oh, yeah, I am believing that I could be hurt. I am believing my feelings could be hurt. I am believing that I could do without. I am believing that if I do without, that means something. How would you have me see this now? Inner wisdom, Holy Spirit, my one true self. How would you have me see this? And then resting there. And this, how would you have me see this? What would you have me do now? What am I believing that I'm not seeing? These questions of surrender, these questions are surrender. These questions help me to quit relying on the character's mind, the character's perspective on the world. You know, the only perspective the character can ever have on the world is from the character's perspective. So the only thing that the character will continue to tell me is, oh, you better watch out. Oh, you better make sure that you've done this correctly. The character only has the perspective of limitation, conflict. You know, I can believe that I have trained my mind to think in a bigger perspective. Oh, well, I'm just going to go in here and I'm going to be love. Well, that may work if you get your thinking mind out of it. But if you're thinking about how to be love, you're still going to be seeing from the character's perspective. Let's see, what would one person do to another person or for another person that would make them feel loved? But the character, the thinking mind, the person is never going to get the correct answer to that question, because the character, the person, the thinking mind is the problem, is the real problem that needs to be answered, right? And you answer it by letting go of your belief in yourself as separate. So I can't think my way out of this. Self is beyond, before the character. Self is beyond, before the thinking mind. There is no thinking your way out of this. Thinking is the problem. So when misperception arises, when fear arises, you just go, oh, I see. In this moment, I'm believing I am Jacqueline. In this moment, I'm believing I am the character. Subject to lack, limitation, conflict. In this moment, I am believing this, and it is this that I would willingly, gratefully, joyously give to inner wisdom, Holy Spirit, to be undone. I see, because I'm feeling this constriction in my body, right? I see that I truly believe in this moment that I'm this limited, lacking, fearful character. You know how I see it? Because I feel it. In this moment, I'm willing to see the truth of me. Now, this isn't a denial of the fear or the belief in lack, or the feeling that is brought about by the belief in lack, the pain, the suffering. This isn't, and when I say it's not a denial, I mean it's not a repression of that. You go, no, I'm not afraid. When you're really afraid, that's not helpful. This is a willingness to know that these are thoughts that we've come to believe, that we've been used to believing, because this is who we thought we were. We thought we were the character. This is a willingness to let the character go, to let go the belief that I'm a person. So if you let go the belief, these individual thoughts, and as I said, every thought tells you you're an individual. If you let go of these individual thoughts, where do you go? You go to inner wisdom. You go to the truth that knows. And not in a Holy Spirit, please pay my mortgage for me way. Holy Spirit, tell me and then the body will do what the body will do. And as we quiet the as we lose interest in the thoughts of the thinking mind, then we can begin to hear inner wisdom. Then we can begin to step in to the flow of life as it flows. Give me just another minute. I'm going back to inner mana. In Ramana, the teachings of Inner Ramana, the inner teacher says, right now it is as if two eyes live within you. It is time we begin to look at these two eyes now. One eye is the false thought, the false idea of who you are. The other eye is best described now as your true heart. One reason for learning the difference between these two eyes is so you can learn to distinguish the difference between the eye that speaks for what you want and the eye that sounds like you, but in truth, it is an imposter. Okay, and on page 43, Inner Ramana says, the mantra and surrender are gentle means that allow you to break the attachment to mind while living the life that mind has given you to live. You know, this should sound like being in the world but not of the world, right? On the next page, the inner teacher says, the best way to break identification with the mind is to cease the activity of listening to it as if it is you. And that's what we're talking about. That's where the world can show us who we're listening to, what we're believing. And again, it's not a cause for guilt. And I guess I say that every time because I must feel a little bit of that every time I say it. There I go thinking about myself as a character again. Just to see it. You can't let it go if you can't see it. So just see it. And willingly give that over. And recognize that it's not the thought that's the problem. It's the belief in the person that's the problem. And that's what we're getting willingness to have undone. That's what we willingly give to Holy Spirit. Oh, I see. I'm thinking I'm a person again. I see fear. I believe I'm the character. I see lack. I see I believe I'm the character. I see limitation. I see I believe I'm the character. This is what I'm willingly giving up to have that belief undone. NTI 1 Peter chapter 4 says, one cannot place judgment on all that he is, so he must not be limited by that which he has judged. What does this mean? It means that you believe in illusion, but illusion is not the truth of you. It means you look on misperception, but you are the one that declares misperception is true. So all we're doing here is allowing the one true self to awaken to itself. And we do that by no longer clinging to the ideas that support something else, by no longer clinging to the ideas that would say, you're the character, you're the person. Remember, you're the character, you're the person, you're the one who's subject to lack and limitation. It's not true. Yeah, and NTI 1 Peter chapter 3 says, always keep your true desire closed in your mind. When you see a misperception and feel the confusion or guilt or fear that it seems to bring, drop to your knees in symbol of returning to the desire of the heart. You know, there's action, a while ago it said fear is an action verb. Well, the step out of fear is an action verb as well, right? It's drop to your knees in symbol of returning to the desire of the heart. So we don't let it pass by and go, oh, yeah, there I go, thinking I'm in person. Okay, now I'm going to go do this thing and do that. No, stop. See what you are continuing to feed yourself. see what block you're throwing up to the realization of yourself as the true self. It says, the Holy Spirit says, quiet the mind in willingness to let the whispers of misperception go. Ask what it is that you truly want. Ask what it is that you truly want. Do I want to continue myself as a character in a world of characters? Ask what it is that you truly want and return your mind willingly to its source. In this way, the misperception is released in faith and an answer, which is true perception, is given, that your mind may be given back to peace. So, you know, again, it's an action verb. I have to see the block and release the block. And we talk, you know, and it seems to be confusing because there seem to be levels. But this is what the merge is about, right? It's like when we begin this, we are so enmeshed in the belief that we are separate people and that we are separate from our source, that we have this bridge thought of the Holy Spirit or inner wisdom as a separate entity to which I, Jacqueline, the little character, must take its thoughts and hand to this separate entity so that those thoughts be taken away. The truth is, it's all in the willingness. It's all in the willingness of my one true self, my Holy Spirit, my inner wisdom. It's all in the willingness to see that that's the truth of who I am. So it's the willingness to release that block. It's not that Holy Spirit is going to come in here and tinker and go, okay, you're fixed now, Jacqueline. You can go on on your own for a little while. No. It is my Holy Spirit. It is my inner wisdom. It's not a separate entity from the truth of who I am. And that's why the key is in the willingness to find the misperception and let them go. It's my willingness to be who I am. It's my willingness to no longer play the game of the character in this little drama of the world. It's my willingness to step into the truth of who I am that is key. Oh, I see that I've gone beyond. Sorry, I lost my time notes. Well, listen, guys, I love you. I love the opportunity to be here with you and share what I would learn. So I am, I'm going to, let go of the mic now and, we'll have a few moments of meditation and contemplation of the message, and then we'll open this up to sharing by everybody. Sorry I went so long. Thanks.
I belong.
like a stone, and I'm running far from home. Remind me who I am. When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough. Remind me who I am. Yes, I'm your beloved. Can you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. Whoa. Tell me once again who I am to you, who I am to you. Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay, guys, this is where we, where it's your turn to share. And so if you all raise your hand, I will turn the mic over to you, and we'll hear you sharing. Lynn, please take the mic.
Thank you, Jacqueline. What a beautiful message and what a beautiful morning. And wow, what a beautiful reading, everything. You know, it's so interesting because I know you guys probably know that I share with Christopher Wojda a couple times a week. He and I teach together. And I don't know, it's been over a year ago when we just both made a joint decision that the teaching, whatever it was that we did, excuse me, was a teaching of who we truly are. And so we refuse with each other, the two of us together, to allow the other to go into another space, a space of the past, a space of the future, a space of anything other than this very moment now. And I don't know how our teaching actually sounds to other people, but I do know that when I am in that space with that person, Christopher, who I've joined with in this purpose, that I can see very clearly the thoughts that are coming from the ego mind and the thoughts that are coming from the truth of who I am, because I've joined in purpose with this other person to do that. And if I start to fall, he pulls me up, and he starts to fall, I pull him up. We do that together because that's our vow. We made a vow to each other to join in this holy relationship, to be who we really are. And this talk that you just gave, that's the same thing. Is reminding me of who I am and reminding me of the truth of who we all are, so that I can, you pulled me up. You know, we pull each other into that space. And of course, a miracle says that whichever one of you is in the right mind can pull the other in that space. It is a possible and necessary thing for us to do. So thank you once again for this beautiful message, Jacqueline. Namaste, my heart. And here's the mic back.
Lovely. Thank you, Lynn, for sharing. Yeah. Does anyone else wish to share? We have a couple of minutes left before we go into our fellowship. Of course, you're welcome to share during our half hour here. You're willing to share during that time as well. We'd love to hear for you before we close out. Okay. Let's see. So we will have a closing song, and again, we'll be here after our half hour of fellowship. I'm letting go of the mic. Lynn, take the mic, please, for our closing song.
From wherever you've been, come broken hearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, oh sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your arms. There's hope for the hopeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. How do I your friend. Lay down your pride, come back to love.